What if I told you there's a hidden force, a collective mind that connects every single human being on the planet, and it's been shaping our reality without us even realizing it? Welcome to the Noosphere.
Tune in with the Galactic Skin Podcast and expand your view.
Greetings and in Lakesh to everyone out there tuning in with us in this now moment. Welcome to the Galactic Spin Podcast, Episode 3. My name is Makua Ray, Kin 126, and I'm happy to be here with my brother Ruben Yinas, Kin 113, in Lakesh. Ruben, how's it going?
In Lakesh, brother. Thank you so much for opening this space for synchronization and for the exploration and the expansion of our consciousness. And happy to be here also for this third episode. We have a show that is, again, full of surprises and full of synchronicities. And happy to share them with everyone that are following us and tracking these synchronizations along the way with us.
Absolutely. We are certainly grateful for anyone tuning in and staying tuned, as we say, because this is a process. As we entered a ceremonial experience together over the past couple of heptads, or weeks, as they say. So it's a special process, and we're certainly grateful for all of those relatives out there around the planet who are tuning in and tuning up and synchronizing together in heart and mind. It's a very, very auspicious time, and it's truly an honor to be able to bring this platform consistently to the people of the world for a time such as this. A special shout out to our team, Michelle, Kin 16, and shout out to Alejandra, Kin 5, our support and team in helping make this dream a reality. So thank you to both of them. And welcome to all those kin who are beginning to tap into the live chat. Grateful for your activity there, because we want to make this a conversation with relatives around the world. And it is certainly now time that we begin to speak about these matters in a matter-of-fact sort of manner, because there are many things for us to share that are being revealed. I think everyone in their various ways are having things revealed to them in real time. And that's why we wanted to come to you with the Galactic Spin Podcast as a real-time experience and experiment in navigating this sacred window to what we refer to as the golden intersection of timelines. You'll hear us continuing to talk about this with regularity, because it's such an auspicious event upon us in our very, very near future. So thank you again to everybody tuning in. And Ruben, do you have anything you'd like to add in commentary as we enter this new sequence?
Yeah, also important to always keep in mind that we are building up. Each episode builds up on the next. So we have covered so far a good portion of the background behind this future intersection of timelines. And it is important every 7 days to remember or recapitulate a little bit of where we were talking, so that people who are just arriving to the broadcast, they can relate and they can really see where we are going with this, because this is a deep, deep exploration into the fabric of time. So we really appreciate everyone that takes the time to hear the podcast and to even listen to it for a second time, because a lot of the concepts that we explore are new. So it is important to keep our full attention, like in a good movie, to really track every detail so that we enjoy the movie to the fullest. The only difference is that the movie is the real life at this point in time. And today marks a very unique synchronization point between timelines. So happy to explore this point within the framework of the Noosphere, because the Noosphere is really the main protagonist of this show. We are here just voices expressing our interpretation of what the Noosphere is broadcasting. So we do our best always to really bring it to grounding the concepts, grounding the information, because we understand that a lot of the information is new for many people and that we need to give the background and a framework so that we can all be on the same page and really go up this rabbit hole, I would say.
Absolutely right. And I think what we are showing here on the screen is a very important element in this transmission. And it's a good starting block in a sense. It's not necessarily where the concept of the noosphere begins. However, it is certainly where in our modern time it found an acceleration into the collective consciousness. And it brings us to the title today, really unlocking the power of collective consciousness. What is the noosphere? And I do suggest that Dr. Jose Arguelles really explored this very, very deeply. And we were fortunate that before he transitioned from the body, it had been arranged that this book would be published through Evolver Press and Daniel Pinchbeck and a great group of folks who at the time were very helpful in ensuring this message gets out to the world so that we would have it as a reference even now. We're definitely excited to explore this topic more with you. We are very excited as well that this does again become part of a normal conversation and commentary. And I'm going to invite Ruben to elaborate, just to elaborate a bit on the concept of noosphere as it relates to Dr. Arguelles in the book Manifesto for the Noosphere.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to bring this important subject to more people, because not many people are familiar with the term noosphere. And during the intro, we were listening this exploration into what if I told you that there is a mind of the earth that is really informing us all. And this is what is the noosphere. In the graphic here, we can appreciate a diagram of the earth, and what we see in red is what we will call the geosphere, which is below the surface of the earth. It is all the mineral kingdom, the molten lava, the crystal core of the earth. That's the geosphere. Then comes the living stratum or the living layer called the biosphere. And around it, the electromagnetic field, in this case, represented by this double rainbow around the Earth, the circumpolar rainbow bridge structure, is comprised of the noosphere, the sphere of mind. The word noosphere comes from the Greek noos, which is mind, and sphere, that is a sphere of mind. So it is really the planetary mind, and this concept was actually developed in 1926 by three intellectuals, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, Vladimir Vernadsky, and French philosopher Jules Leroy. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin was a paleontologist and anthropologist. He elaborated this chart to show in time the evolution of consciousness. So we can see on the vertical axis the complexity, on the horizontal axis the axis of consciousness. And as complexity increases, consciousness also goes through different stages of development. In this case, from the physical universe and the cosmosphere, it's called the geogenesis, and then appears life and the biosphere on Earth. This is called biogenesis. Then we appear, the humans. He called this process homogenesis. And then comes the noosphere, which is the in-between stage to what he called Christogenesis, which is the return to source or the omega point. But the point is that in this stage, we are becoming conscious that we are the living cells, thinking cells of the Earth. The Earth is perceived as an organism. And what these three scientists introduced to us was a new concept that was never been explored, which is what is the next stage of human evolution? That's where Dr. Arguelles picked them on his book. And it's based on the fact that if we are the thinking layers, that means that we are one mind with the Earth, and the Earth and ourselves are the same thinking mind. The universal mind is just that is expressed as individual bodies. In this case, us as human and the Earth as a planet. but it's really one universal mind informing everything. And the mind of the earth, in this case, is that repository of memories, dreams, all the scientific discoveries. Everything that has happened is recorded in this thinking layer of the earth. So we are basically right now in what is called the biosphere-noosphere transition. And this is what is explored in the Manifesto for the Noosphere in great detail. This is a transition that is compared to a healing crisis. We know that during a healing crisis, the organism goes through a crisis before really recovering fully. And in this case, well, the earth is going through a detoxification process, we would say, and that's called the noospheric emergence. We are in the process of noospheric emergence from the biospheric crisis that we created by the development of the machine technology far from our own abilities to control. So that created what Vladimir Vernadsky called a geocombustion stage on Earth, that we are producing so many toxics that the Earth is having difficulty in really transmute that toxic. So we, as thinking layers, are supposed to be the protagonists of that process of transmuting the toxicity of what the Industrial Revolution and the development of the machine technology has created and revert that effect into a new stage of evolution. That even Dr. Roger Weyes said, this is like something we have never experienced, so we don't know exactly how we are going to experience, but it could be similar to when the water changes from liquid to gas. That is still the same, but is in a new form. And we are basically going as a species and as a planetary organism, going through that same process of becoming something new and evolving in time to become the next stage of the evolution of the planet. So it's a momentous time. It's a great time to be alive, to be the converging point of so many inventions like artificial intelligence. And as we both, as an early generation of this process, we really appreciate how fast technology has advanced since we were born in the 70s. Mm-hmm. So right now we are basically reaching a climax after 52 years from the first Earth Day that happened really in 1970. So we are, this year we complete 54 years. And when we arrived to those markers, we did a live stream in which we compared this completion of the 52 years of the Earth Day and the consciousness of a whole planet with the emergence of artificial intelligence. Well, we recommend everyone to go to our YouTube channel and find that broadcast, because we really explore in depth what this transformation is about and how we are running like a parallel timeline with technology, an artificial timeline driven by the machine, an organic timeline driven by the biological life and us as human. So this is a very exciting time. And today we are going to explore deep how another breed of humans who inhabited the Earth a long time ago, like the Maya, really play a very important role in the development of the noosphere, as they develop the most advanced mathematics and the most advanced systems to measure time. And thanks to those developments and that connection to that universal mind that they had, we are able to really elaborate on their science and bring some concepts to the surface that are really important to grasp at this moment.
Right on. So it's a lot to cover, a lot to dive into on this episode. And again, we're really tapping into the collective consciousness as we explore the question, what is the noosphere? This advent of the noosphere is a long time coming. And let's also say that it's catalyzed through human conflict and drama. So what's interesting is that we find that the emergence of the noosphere comes along that very line of the decay that we may otherwise be observing happening, and the calamities caused by war. Things of this nature are registering in the mind of Earth. And as a result, it is catalyzing an awakening of the planetary consciousness. Mm-hmm. And that's where also the line and the leading edge of unification is coming about in reality, is those of us, as Ruben has identified, who are waking up to recognize our inherent relationship as stewards and protectors of not only this planet, but really of a galactic sense and a galactic scope. And we'll get into some of that as well as we explore more deeply the relationship of Bacal Watan to and with the Noosphere during this broadcast. We're going to shift gears now, and we're going to take some reflection on the Earth's pulse. Thank you for tuning in, and stay tuned. Thank you for tuning in as we explore the Earth's pulse of the past 7 days. We like to provide a reflection on current events for you in relationship to this biosphere-noosphere transition. And I'm going to ask Ruben to give us some insights on some of the things that we are observing right now.
Thank you, brother. Yes, during the last episode, we explored how we were going through a major window of activity in the heavens. We had major auroras and geomagnetic storms, but still the event that is getting the more attention is the comet Tsuchinsan Atlas C2023. This comet has been now named the comet of the century. We have here two beautiful shots from spaceweather.com. There is a whole gallery there that you can visit and see the amazing pictures of this comet. And these cosmic bodies, they really bring an element of prophecy and mystery to our everyday life when they appear. When these motifs appear in the screen of our consciousness, we have really the opportunity to wonder what's going up there and how magical life is. And this comet has a trajectory that we were discussing last episode. Now is entering the constellation of Ophiuchus, which we can see there. Ophiuchus is the serpent holder, and is the 13th constellation of the zodiac. It's the hidden constellation, because for those people who don't know, the sun actually goes through 13 constellations during one orbit, 1 year. And right now, it happens to be that the comet is passing through that constellation that is the serpent holder, or Asclepius, an archetypal deity connected to health. And the Greek story tells about a man who was bitten by a snake and who found the cure for the bite in another snake's venom. So basically, it's the transmuter. Is the teacher of transmutation, and the comet is right now passing through that 13th constellation called Ophiuchus, which gives us also an interesting take, because we are entering, as we will going to see, the 13th cycle of the serpent. So we have, again, the story in the heavens matching the timing on Earth. And the other important event that is taking place now that connects us to our ancient future in the sky is the Orionid shower that we can see in the next slide. They come from the constellation of Orion. They are coming from that direction, but they seem to be debris from the Halley's Comet, another famous comet that passed the Earth a long time ago, like 20 years or so. And Orion is a constellation that is connected to ancient Egypt. According to Graham Hancock, the Belt of Orion represents with accuracy the position of the three main pyramids in the Giza Plateau. It's also in Teotihuacan, three main temples, Pyramid of the Sun, Pyramid of the Moon, and the Temple of Quetzalcoatl are connected to this configuration of the Orion's Belt. So these are also signs in the sky that are letting us know that we are on the right track. I think that's a way to really start to connect the threads between heaven and earth that allow us to really appreciate the story that is unfolding in front of our eyes in real time.
It is absolutely something to witness, and signs and wonders is really becoming an understatement at this point, just considering the array of synchronicities and cosmic visitors that we're encountering at this intersection of timelines, really and truly, all those energies that are showing up and being attendant to this moment in our conscious evolution. It's a very, very exciting time, and it is just, I mean, something incredible to behold. We certainly are grateful to be here in light of that. And thank you all for being with us as well as we continue this journey together. So as we come to the part we like to call sync in and tune up, this is us getting ourselves in sync, utilizing the new time tools that we have been blessed to discover and to put into practice in our daily lives. To find these tools, you can visit our website, theharmonicfactor.com, and you can download the synchronometer here that you see on the screen, 13 moon, 28 day synchronometer. Measure of synchronicity is what synchronometer means. It's a measure of synchronicity. Calendar means accounting. Calends, it's from the Latin calends. And it was really accounting for debt and accounting for those debtors to the state, to the king, King James, and others throughout history. And this is something that we're all saying, no more. You can't pull the wool over our eyes anymore. We actually see, we're learning literally where we are in time. And as we said previously, that's been one of the things that has completely befuddled us or confused us, because we were interpreting time to be this two-dimensional object of a clock on a wall, or this disconnected, erratic, inconsistent timing frequency that comes with the Gregorian calendar. So that time is over, fortunately. Now we're in a transition, as was laid out earlier as well. We're in this biosphere-noosphere transition. So we have to appreciate that a 52-year window is likely necessary to stabilize the frequency of natural time back onto the Earth. It won't happen in a day or even a year or even a decade. It'll take a couple of generations, and that's represented in that 52-year frequency. So in light of that, we're always excited to share and illumine qualities and the energies of where we find ourselves as we tune in, as we spiral up. And when we talk about spiraling up, we're literally saying that we're walking a path. When you follow the spiral arms of the galaxy, for example, as a way to navigate and measure the progress or the evolution that we're experiencing on both a personal and planetary level, it becomes a beautiful and revealing experience. And we do that by tracking what are called wave spells. Wave spells are any cycle of 13. In this case, we're applying the wave spell to 13-day cycles. And we have up here the past wave spell that we just completed. And I want to ask Ruben to elaborate on some of the closing factors of that wave spell that lead us to the current wave spell where we are now.
Yes, thank you so much. Well, during the last cycle of 13 days that we were precisely on King 99, today's King 106, and the main aspects of the story of this 13-day cycle of the human, which are described in the three words that we see on the right, influence, wisdom, and free will, that's the main theme. In this case, they were really highlighted by the completion of important markers within this biosphere-nosphere transition timeline. We examine the papal bulls. We examine the clashing of the cultures, the alleged discovery of the Americas by Christopher Columbus, and how that really set in motion a domino effect that keeps us where we are today, under that domination code of the doctrine of discovery. And at the end of this 13-day cycle, we were appreciating that there is a mythic prophetic figure appearing. This was the ancient Mayan king and sage Pakalpotan that we are going to explain in a little bit more about who he is for those who have never heard this name before. This sage left the knowledge of the codes of time and a prophecy to humanity regarding our reconnection to the natural cycles of time as a decisive way to really reach the next stage of consciousness. And during those last 3 days, we are going to explore in more depth in the coming minutes. We celebrated an anniversary of his death and an anniversary of his birth. And why is that important today? Because today, as we enter this 13-day cycle of the serpent that started yesterday, just started 1 day ago, we are again in that window of resurrection of this prophetic figure. Because on a day like today, in the year 4772, it is written in stone in the ancient temple of inscriptions in the city of Lacamha or Palenque, known as Palenque today, that this prophetic figure will, like Christ, will return to earth in the year 4772, in what would be Gregorian calendar, October 21st. So as we can see on this graphic, today we are basically 2 days ago, we completed 1997 solkins from his birth. In three cycles of 260 days, we will complete 2,000 solkins, equivalent to 520,000 days. It's a big number. That's why it's for me difficult to say it in English, because this is a major cycle of the presence of this being on Earth. So we can take these fractals and these containers of time as measure of the development of consciousness on Earth. Why? Because this mind who brought most of this knowledge and who left in his tomb the clues for us to recover or to remember who we really are is going through the to the last reiteration of his portal. So 2 days ago was King 60. We were closing the 13-day cycle of the seed. It was King 104. And on that day, on the ancient Maya long count, was King 60 or Eitahau, the equivalent of Eitahau. So for the people who are unfamiliar with the timekeeping system of the Maya, they have three basic systems to measure time. One was the long count, a linear count that measures really long periods of time. And there is the HAP, which is a solar calendar that measures the solar year. It's the measure of the solar year. It's 360 days plus 5 days or plus 5 holidays. This is reconciled through 18 months of 20 days each. This period of 360 days is called a tun, and it was precisely on Eitahau, King 104, when we arrived to one of those periods, the ending of the Tun period number 12 and the start of the Tun period 13, that will place us in 358 days as per today in the golden intersection of timelines that we described during the last episode. So these markers are really unique in a sense that they don't synchronize every year around this time. The fact that a long count marker is synchronizing with an important marker on the 260-day calendar, which is the third method that they use, the third system, one system to measure cycles of 260 days, one system to measure solar orbits of 365 days, and one system to measure really long periods of time, like the Baktuns, which are 144,000 days. So the uniqueness of this day today is that it also corresponds to one of the seals that is carved on his sarcophagus lid as a 13 clear signs of prophecy, and that this clear sign is also the birth sign of his first son and heir to the throne of Palenque, He's the person who actually built the Temple of Inscriptions. It took him 9 years, and he dedicated this temple with the tomb in the crypt on a very special long count marker, which was 9.13.0.0. Those are the numbers of the prophecy, and those are the numbers of the axis of Mayan cosmology. According to the Maya, life on Earth divides in 9 levels, called the underworld, and 13 heavens, which are 13 dimensions above the Earth. So those are really the factors that are highlighting today, this day, as a prophetic day in nature, because his son, who built this temple, was born on this energy of two kimi, is in Mayan language. We will call it, in galactic Maya terms, the white lunar world bridger king 106. So today we are also publishing a very in-depth article about this for those who want to really go deep and explore. But for the moment, let's just say that we are in a prophetic window. We are closing today a prophetic window, because these are dates that don't come along every week or every moon. This is a special synchronization that is happening now during the month of October, where all these converging events that define human history are aligned or synchronized. And we cover them in episode 1 and 2. In summary, they are the Julian reform. The Julian calendar ended October 4th. Then October 15th is the start of the Gregorian calendar. There were 10 days that were lost in time during that reform. We covered that too. And in between that, there is October 13, which is the end of a period of 20 baktuns, or 20 cycles of 144,000 days that was recorded on that temple of inscriptions in Palenque. On the west panel, we can see the pyramid of inscriptions when it was discovered, the lid of his sarcophagus opened by archaeologist Alberto Ruz Luis Gier on June 15, 1952. What we see on the right is the depiction of, is a work of art of a 4-ton stone lid that covers his body. He was, because of this depiction, in which he appears to be in fetal position and moving with his hands some elements, some people call him the astronaut of Palenque, and became famous for that image depicted on his tomb. But in reality, this is only one expression of a consciousness, a very advanced consciousness, which is the mind of a very advanced being that has come to the earth, just like in many ancient traditions. Like the Inca tradition, they talk about Viracocha. In the Nordic tradition, they talk about Votan or Wotan, Odin. And in the Egyptian tradition, this consciousness, they call it Thoth. So these are beings that are really bringing new knowledge to the planet. This is, again, a picture of the Temple of Inscriptions taken in 2012 by a dear friend of mine, King 53, Juanita, who saw this beam coming right from the center of the Temple of Inscriptions. And what we see on the right is the mask, the jade mask that he was wearing when he was buried below that temple. So this is a great opportunity then today to go back in time and go forward in time. Who was this person who left all this knowledge, who left a tomb with so much information for us to decipher, and what was the purpose of that? And what was his role as an advanced mind to bring this knowledge and keep it recorded in stone so that it can survive the pass of time? This is a beautiful and unparalleled opportunity to learn more about this Mayan figure of prophecy. And we recommend also, you were mentioning yesterday that there is a new series on Netflix, right?
Yeah, there is a new series from Graham Hancock, archaeologist and writer, who recently put out the series part 2 of Ancient Apocalypse. And so the 6th episode of this, and final episode, in fact, of the series does feature specifically Palenque and talks specifically about Khan Balaam II, the son, the heir to the throne you mentioned of Pakal. And auspiciously, that was released very recently within this window of October. It's a brand new issue of this series from Graham Hancock. And so we're grateful to hear some interest leaning in that direction to shine a light on the enigma that is Pakal Votan, because in Kinich Janab Pakal in the Maya language, known by various names, though also by the energy of this enigma, as was mentioned, Wotan, Odin, other cultural names and manifestations throughout this timeline, which is so interesting because where Graham Hancock ends up is he's always attempting to identify the ancient ancestors of the world's peoples to suggest that the world's academia and archaeology goes but only so far and so deep into that record, and that his life mission for over 30 years has been to challenge archaeology to look deeper and further because there are certain events that have occurred that seem to have been identified by people all over the world who seemingly would not have had any contact with each other, though they're describing the same significant calamity that was a world-changing event called the Younger Dryas, which was basically a flood and a devastation around the entire world from which I'm going to say a certain aspect of Ice Age came out in relationship to that. The tracking of the record, according to archaeology, will tell us, but only so much, it would seem. But now in this particular series from Graham Hancock, he's identifying with LIDAR technology, able to see through the forest layer to structures and other aspects that are on the grounds themselves. So that's some of what people can discover in looking at that particular Ancient Apocalypse, the Americas series. And again, I think it's no coincidence, certainly. Once you start tapping into natural time, you know coincidence is out the window. Everything is connected. And we're talking about the noosphere. It's the collective consciousness. As Graham Hancock has tapped into that with his own inquiries, he also shows up as a yellow self-existing warrior. We looked at that earlier. So he's asking questions. He's asking very important questions, in fact. And naturally, he's also got his own perspective as an archaeologist. It's interesting when you kind of consider where Jose Arguelles was leading and where Graham Hancock has been investigating. They're looking at very similar things. And it's interesting that Graham has now come around to Palenque, and specifically the information coded within the pyramid structures there. And as you also pointed out for us, I think it's very important, being that today happens to be the kin or the galactic signature equivalent of Khan Balaam II, the heir, and the builder of the Temple of Inscriptions. Let's remember that very important point. We talk about Pakal often for his presence and energy in his enigma, and we also need to be talking about Khan Balaam II, who rightfully was the heir, who became king at age 48, okay, upon his father's passing of age 80. So Khan Balaam, even as Graham Hancock points out, was very immersed and versed in the time science that his father anchored. And so when we look at the relief that's at the top of the Temple of the Foliated Cross, when we look at that relief on the wall, it's actually evident that what you're looking at is a communication across timelines and through worlds, where according to the cosmology of the Maya, there's the concept, as also pointed out by Graham Hancock in his episode, where the souls cross the Milky Way to the other world. And the Milky Way itself serves as that passage through which souls will go. And that Milky Way or tree, if you will, great tree, cosmic tree, is depicted in this relief atop that particular temple that was built as part of the temple structures that were dedicated in the year 692 AD. And those factors are very important to our work in particular, because on a personal note, Ruben and I began our collaboration around bringing the awareness of the calendar conundrum, to a community called Nexus and their event called the Nexus Global Youth Summit. And this particular summit was taking place during the Day Out of Time. In fact, it initiated on what's called Noosphere Day in the month of July. I want to say the date was 22nd. Yeah. So that precedes The 25th, as we know, is the day out of time in the 13-moon calendar. But that particular year, we had the opportunity to present at the UN. And going into that meeting, we were receiving telepathic instruction about the significance of what we were being called to do, which was to launch the Calendar Referendum Initiative 2020. Because, and we didn't know this at the time that we were learning it. It wasn't until after later reflection that we realized that the time from the dedication of the Temple of Inscriptions, central to this entire reality, the time from the dedication of that temple, 692 AD, to the year 2020 was literally 1328 years. So as a numerical significance, we took that as an indication of the synchronicity and the, I would say, divine instruction to proceed to do what we were being called to do, which was to revive the conversation about the calendar as it related to the 13-moon calendar world change peace movement and bring that conversation to a new audience almost a generation later after the initial calendar reform efforts were launched in the year 2000. So we were attempting to revive that, which we've carried on with that work up to now. But what's interesting is we weren't emphasizing too much at that point about the galactic signatures. We weren't getting into that particular aspect of it because you're looking at multiple calendars and how they synchronize. We were primarily focused on shifting people's thinking as it related to the Gregorian calendar and its conundrum, shifting to a harmonious frequency of 1328. And that augured by the reality, the recognition of 1328 years between the dedication of Temple of Inscriptions and the marker year initially set for the Calendar Reform Initiative. So that said, it's auspicious to me that here we are on the very kin equivalent of Khan Balaam being guided to bring awareness to the timelessness, essentially, of Pakal in his 104,000-year samadhi, as we talk about in the description of this particular episode today. Kind of planting that seed with people to begin to peel back the greater layers where Graham Hancock is revealing and exploring to a certain degree. What I would like to see happen is information about this, the qualitative nature of these codes that he doesn't really have the, I would say, the ability necessarily to translate. He relies upon other experts to look at the meaning of these codes, as he has in the documentary. He's got interviews with experts in that field. People who are learned of Palenque and been there for over 20 years studying the language, even fluent in the language and fluent in the code in terms of what was written in the Temple of Inscriptions. So all that to say that this is a very auspicious window that we do find ourselves in. And again, we want to encourage people to check out the Netflix documentary series. It's on there now. It's wonderful, again, that it's bringing people's attention to Palenque and how very, very important that is. I want to move into, as you pointed out, that future year is of great significance. And I want to ask you to elaborate a little bit more on that, but we can talk more about that.
Yeah, thank you so much. And what we see here, this slide is really a collage of images of the Temple of Inscriptions with the panel depicting this enigmatic date in the future that has baffled archaeologists, researchers, and elders for years. And they don't really understand why they recorded a date that is so far in the future. We are speaking about the year 4772, to be more exact, October 13 and 21 in the Gregorian conversion, depicted on the west panel of the Temple of Inscriptions as the closing of two major events. One is the conclusion of 20 baktuns from the start of the Mayan count. This is depicted on the long count with the marker that we see below, marker 1.0.0.0.0. And to October 21st of the year 4772, which is 1.0.0.0.8. Those two markers are basically highlighted because one corresponds to the end of that 20 cycles of 144,000 days each, and the other one 8 days after we cross that threshold. It's really this 20 baktun cycle is called a piktun. That's the full picture of the hologram, the piktun cycle. this return of this intelligence or this mind called Pakalvotan, who doesn't have to be really the return of the actual human being, is more the return of the consciousness. And what this date served to José Argüelles is a way to really establish a map. This is the actual depiction of the West Tablet. Of course, there is a lot of coded information there, but let's say that we did our homework in knowing that those two dates are there and they are commented on José's work. There is an article called 1,000 Days to December 21st, 2012, and the closing of the cycle, where he goes in really a deep, deep dive into that date and how the end of the Pictun and the return of Pakal were kind of the colophons or colorales of the entire Maya hologram of time. And what we see here is also one of the illustrations from his books, Cosmic History Chronicles. Here we can see the diagram of the Temple of Inscriptions that has nine levels. Those nine levels correspond to those nine levels of the underworld in Mayan cosmology. And we see here the tomb, on top of the tomb, the 1320 code of the 20 solar seals and the 13 numerals. And there is a rainbow upon it that represents the passing to the fourth dimension and then to the fifth dimension. And this is encompassed by a sphere that is the 104,000 year diameter transmission that Pakalvotan is one of its expressions or the main channel to bring that consciousness of 104,000 years. So that means that this process of evolution on Earth has been coordinated by those numbers. 104,000 years, to make it easy to grasp, is four cycles of 26,000 years called the precession of the equinoxes. We are now in the fifth cycle of 26,000 years. The importance of these numbers is that they give us a really good reference point, numerical reference point, to grasp how the Mayan time science is articulated. 104 is also like a fractal of the Venus cycle. One Venus round is 104 years, and it's two cycles of 52 years or calendar rounds. We covered that on the last episode, but it's important to recall these cycles and repeat them because they get imprinted in our memory by repetition. And this is especially important now because last King 104 was Eidahau on the long count. There are two parallel timelines running, to be clear. One is the ancient Maya count. One is the galactic Maya count. One comes from the past, is recorded in stone. We can use it as a reference to understand these big cycles like this panel that we just showed. And there is the galactic Maya count. This account that comes from the future is connected to the star people and is connected to the galactic Maya. They are interdimensional beings, not the indigenous peoples who inhabited and still inhabit those lands. So there are two streams of consciousness. One comes from the earth, the other one comes from heaven, and they are interwoven right now in the present moment, especially on days like today, where we can really make sense of a date in the future that only few people on Earth can make sense, because this is basically the intelligence of that being that recorded that date in stone on his tomb, narrating the whole dynasty of Palenque from the beginning and how it was created, the civilization that he lived in and that he directed into a new stage of evolution, because the development of the sciences of astronomy, architecture, mathematics exploded during the 52-year cycle of Pakalvotan. And his son is also a great example of what that advancement meant, because the Temple of Inscriptions, and as well as the temples that you were mentioning before, the Temple of the Cross, the Temple of the Foliated Cross, and the Temple of the Sun, were all built by this master architect, who is depicted on each of those panels next to in front of his dad. And these depictions are, of course, when his dad already passed. And he was basically portraying himself alive, having like face-to-face encounter with his dad, with the sacred cross of the corn tree in the middle, connecting the two of them. So this is, today is really a beautiful opportunity to travel back and forward in time and appreciate the message that these beings left us so that we can navigate the current times on Earth and make sense of all the nonsense that we see every day on the mainstream media and focus our attention on harmony and not on disharmony. That's the basic premise of the Law of Time and the basic inspiration for this entire broadcast, to really make conscious the unconscious, to bring harmony to those places where harmony is not present. So thank you so much again to you for opening the space and becoming the producer of this space so that we can leave a record like the ancient did on the times we are living and how these messages recorded in stone can serve us as guideposts to navigate the current times on Earth.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ruben, as always, for your service. Because it's very rare indeed just to have and be able to navigate in cooperation and collaboration on something so precious with someone else and with our team. And I want to give a shout out again to our team. I want to also acknowledge the other timekeepers that are showing up in the YouTube live chat. Thank you for sharing with each other and meeting each other and celebrating in reverie this occasion, because this is something for those of us who have been familiar with the Law of Time, with the Synchronic Order for many, many years, we are coming upon a time of, I feel, elation and a cause for celebration. One of the things that we're very deeply inspired to bring to the consciousness of the world of timekeepers, be you a Maya Vigesimal long count keeper, a day keeper, or be you somebody who's keeping with the dream spell count and the galactic Maya, the beautiful thing about this moment of synchrony is that these counts are literally intersecting for the purpose of reaching a higher harmony. That's what we're realizing. And that's being confirmed when we look at the numbers. Let's just establish that the numbers don't lie. The numbers express qualitative reality. And there's a qualitative invitation to us who are aware of the meaning of these numbers and are sensitive to that, to be able to embody their essence and communicate their meaning. This needs to become a regular conversation. And one of the ways that we're helping to do that is by providing both the mathematics, but then also the inspiration of activation around the meaning of what these numbers are communicating. And in so doing, we are going together we will be doing this, holding sacred space. It's already begun. The ceremony is already underway. In fact, I would dare say that the ceremony launched in the year 2022, when we activated that 10-day window, the 12-12 light activation that led up to a culmination in Palenque, where you, Ruben, were literally at ground zero of Palenque, dropping in on December 21st, 2022, with a sacred transmission right there from those holy grounds. So here we are in the continuity of that reality that we've been walking and weaving together, doing so with the intention of harmonizing and bringing this elation to more and more of our relatives. Because it is true, the lens you use matters. Yeah. If you're seeing through a distorted lens, you will only see distortions. When you perceive through a lens of harmony, harmony reveals, synchronicity abounds. That's one of the gifts of putting on the lens of natural time. That's why we are devoted to normalizing this as a conversation. And as a way of life, a way of being, it's been our ancient way of being. We also know it's our future way of being, and we're activating it right now. When we look at the numbers on the screen, I'll describe them for people who are going to be listening to the podcast without the visuals. We are looking at basically a window of 443 years from October 15th, 1582, with the launch, inception, activation, initiation of the Gregorian calendar conundrum. It replaced the Julian calendar that effectively ended October 4th, 1582. The very next day was declared by Pope Gregory XIII to be October 15th, removing 10 days entirely to kick off an effort, a trajectory of this new Gregorian calendar. Now, this calendar also keeps a particular count called the Lilian count. It's so named the Lilian count. This was a name given to it in the past 30 years by a scientist. And Ruben, what's that scientist's name, the mathematician?
Yeah, actually, he was a scientist from IBM in 1986. Mm-hmm. Who yes. honoring, I don't remember the name of this scientist, but he was one of the persons who designed the Gregorian calendar. And his last name was Lilius. Lilius. But,
oh, okay.
But we call the Lilian count to honor right. of the bright individuals who brought this system that we are currently using.
Alocius Lilius was his name, in fact. And he was companion then to Pope Gregory XIII. He was basically the mastermind, apparently, yes. maybe among a council of masterminds, who knows, who at the time mm-hmm. were given the mandate by Pope Gregory, probably in the month of February that year, 1582, when that Intergravissimus came down, which is yeah. what laid open the avenue or pathway for the Gregorian calendar to replace the Julian calendar at that time. Now, what's interesting, well, it's like this. Was it a short-sighted endeavor for the Pope of the day to issue this? I mean, already the Pope is probably operating from some sense of power and control. But I wonder if they understood the depth of the complexity of what was being created by doing that. It's a rhetorical question only to consider, you know, oftentimes we don't know the unintended consequences that we're causing. And so at this point, this many years later, 443 years later, next year, when we arrive to the golden intersection of timelines, what's happening is these timelines are crossing, and there's a major opportunity through our collective consciousness to anchor a healing, to anchor a transformation, a pole shift, if you will, a shift in consciousness about the direction that we're actually agreeing to travel. We literally are being invited to unplug ourselves from the calamity of the Gregorian calendar. We're being given codes and applications that can help us guide at least a critical mass of human beings towards something that can help stabilize. Today being the lunar tone, it's a tone of stabilization. So we know that Khan Balaam and his role was leaving something in the past that would be recollected in the future, which is where we find ourselves now. And you can't separate the significance of this intersection of timelines from this equation. This event, it cannot be understated. The Lilian count, just to wrap this up for people, the Lilian count is one of the primary factors we're looking at right now in this intersection of timelines. And that's because that sequence of days, that day-to-day count, will reach 161,803 days on October 15th, 2025. So that is literally a fractal approximation of the phi ratio, the golden ratio, which is 1.618033. So this Lilian count is indicating a harmonization process underway. It's literally indicating almost a cresting wave or a moment where if we align our heart and mind's intentions and anchor ourselves in a very clear way, we can serve to reverse 4 centuries of curse effectively. And, you know, this is not a boast, but it is understanding the potency of heart and mind when aligned in natural time. And there's a part of the prophecy communicated from Pakal Votan that says, if humanity wishes to avoid biospheric destruction, then it must return to living in natural time. So by making this transition from the artificial system, by literally escaping, or better yet, breaking free from the zero-sum game mentality that's perpetuated through the Gregorian calendar, we're literally stepping back towards unity and harmony with nature. With the nature of the cosmos, the nature of the physical planet Earth, the nature of our human relations. We need to get past the divisiveness that has run rampant and has resulted in all of these wars, never-ending wars, it seems. While we do recognize that there is a critical mass, at the very least, of people on planet Earth that don't want war. And we don't have to accept that any longer. What we do have to do, though, is change our lens. We have to expand our view and apply a different lens so that we have a correct perception of what we're actually experiencing and navigating together. So when we reach this marker of 161,803 days on October 15th, 2025, we will be, in a way, serving as a crescendo of energy, a crescendo of resonance that will absolutely have the impact of healing and transforming things in relationship to people who don't even realize they need the healing. And that's the reality. This is going to be such a catalytic experience because it's nospherically inclined. It's not just our minds in isolation. It is our minds and hearts aligned with the nospheric aspects and consciousness of the planet Earth. And I believe that this is part of the purpose of Pakal's Samadhi, as we talked about, that 104,000-year meditation, holding space. It's described that Pakal was committed to holding that space of meditation that humanity itself could make the shift into natural time. So as we are time traveling back and forth right now, that's a pretty incredible consideration that we can travel through time, evolving through time, because time is effectively consciousness. It's allowing our consciousness to teleport across timelines. And that's also what's happening by going back to 1582, the way we've been doing the past few years, to help guide the Gregorian calendar, almost in hospicing it, because we recognize its purpose has been served and it's no longer necessary. But it's also one of those things that's so crystallized and ubiquitous in global society that unless we realize it's the source of our disconnection, it's the source of our illness, we need help in realizing that that needs to be remedied. It needs to be hospiced. Because either way, the shift is happening. Mm-hmm. And we are inviting people to identify these tools, which are going to be a complement to this shift. I want to pull up something real quick, if we can, just to articulate for people as we are keeping a decisive count for the next several episodes. We want to bring to people's mind where we do find ourselves today in relationship to reaching that particular marker. We're 358 days away today from this golden intersection of timelines. You'll also hear the term Phi Day, because when we do arrive to October 15, 2025, we're declaring it Phi Day, because again, that Lillian count reaches 161,803, the Phi ratio. Without a doubt, that is a fractal approximation of the Phi ratio, the golden ratio. And that's indicating to us a golden opportunity for healing and for transformation. And it's almost like it's one of those things that comes up as a surprise gem, because in all of the work that we've both studied of timekeepers to precede us, this is a new discovery. This is actually a new discovery. So I don't want to understate that it is new information that can be verified, can be measured, can be checked. Here we are in the moon of self-existing definition form measurement. This is the time that we are literally measuring this count. And so it's a once-in-a-lifetime observance not to be missed. It's like going back to the harmonic convergence of 1987 for those who were there. And remember, where were you during the harmonic convergence? I was 13 years old, you know, so I wasn't aware of it consciously as such, but my soul was activated by that reality. You know, that happened on the planet Earth. It affected all of us because, again, these are noospheric scale shifts we're talking about. So I know I was noospherically activated back then. Even at age 10, when I looked at the night sky and I said, where are we? What is this place? Seeing the Milky Way, that passageway, wondering like, how did I get here? And probably unconsciously reflecting on the fact that I came through that passageway just like Pakal, just like Khan Balaam the second knew to observe and host the communication with the other worlds, right? That being said, this auspicious moment that is a new discovery that has never happened before and will never happen again is an invitation to everybody in resonance with this message to stay in your light, stay in your heart, raise your vibration, hit a higher harmony, find a reason to celebrate and elevate your life, and let these markers be guideposts guiding the journey, assuring you that absolutely there is a reconciliation afoot. There is a healing happening right now. And we're here noospherically witnessing this and putting it on the record, the digital record of the internet, proto-telepathy of the internet, right? Mm-hmm. While we're activating in actual telepathy with the cosmos. Yeah. So it's a beautiful, beautiful moment, and we want to continue to invite people to tune into this moment and absolutely stay tuned. We have a section we like to call What's Next, and I'll tell you that for every episode from here until this golden intersection, this is What's Next. This is something we're going to definitely continue to bring people's awareness back to as the numbers continue to move up toward that golden intersection as it's reflected on 161803 days of the Lillian count. Thank you, Ruben, for helping ground this discovery in your work and bringing it forward that we could actually have it again as a guidepost to pull us in the direction of harmony. And again, this is one of many events on the road of events happening. So it's an honor that this is one of those way opening events prior to reaching 2026, prior to reaching 2027, which in the Gene Keys perspective is regarded as the rhythmic symphony and the activation of the human gene key 55. We'll talk more about that in some future episodes as well. And hopefully we'll have Richard Rudd on here to have a conversation with us about that as we compare these systems who are in many ways stabilizing each other. They're very analogous, and we want to put that also before people for their consideration, not to overlook these codes, because these codes are liberation codes, actually, and that's what they're serving as.
Yes, and I want to add, actually, when you were saying that we all design an invitation for all of us to stay in our hearts, if we apply the golden proportion to the human body, the length from our feet to the heart and from our heart to our head, is the heart is actually the golden section of the body, of the human body. So it's literally, this is an invitation to really connect with the heart, with that phi ratio that is pulsing from the quantum into our bodies and giving us the life and the opportunity to interact with this third dimension in a harmonious way. We are part of that heartbeat of creation. And as that intrinsic fiber of creation that is pulsating at the same rhythm, it is our role to really keep that drumbeat and that heartbeat in harmony with the nature, in harmony with the cosmos, in harmony with these mathematical ratios that only exist because mathematics is the language of nature. So this is an abstraction that we invented to make sense of the beauty and the proportion and the harmony present in nature. And they are neutral in nature so that we can detach from them any religious or racial or nationalistic idea or belief that will separate us. The idea is that we can see in this window of opportunity a golden opportunity to transcend those differences and become one with the pulse of life. And that's why there is an invitation. We are pulsing the intention to meditate on this day, join with loved ones, celebrate art in any form, shape, wave, or form you feel inspired to do so, because this is a wave of harmony that we need to amplify and expand so that creation itself becomes conscious that we are evolving as a new species, that the earth is evolving with us into the next level of our evolution, that we still don't know what it is, but considering how good of an artist nature is going to be absolutely mesmerizing. So an invitation for everyone to get used to really tune into the golden ratio, learn more about it. There are fantastic videos online that describe the golden proportion in space. We are now just applying that same filter of space to time and finding the points of resonance between time and space And 14 and 15, 2025 are one of those nexus points of resonance between the fabric of time and space, and all the different calendrical systems converging on that day are indicators that this is real and this is happening. Consciously or unconsciously, we are all being drawn to this zero point in time to meet in harmony. And this is a fantastic time to prepare for that point by simply learning more about our own nature, learning more about the course of time, learning more about natural time, the cycles of time. And once our brain and our minds are familiar with this concept, everything that we are speaking here makes perfect sense. It's just that we need to really deprogram our minds to allow the new to fill that space. It's like very similar to when we are upgrading the operating system of our computers or our mobile phones. There is a need to place a different operating system so that everything can work in a streamlined way. And we cannot keep using a system to measure time that is an old technology and is not a reflection of the intelligence of the human species. So we have here really a golden opportunity to bring light to that subject so that we can reach a critical mass of human beings who live in natural time frequency and who serve as antennas for cosmic energies to bring the cosmic plan of evolution on Earth in their biologies, because this knowledge is not good enough to be published or in a book, in a shelf. We need to embody this wisdom and this information so that we are really an expression of that harmony. Otherwise, it is just information. But once it's information that has been integrated by our biological supercomputer, it gets a whole new dimension. It's like our biocomputer working at the level that it can really bring miracles into existence. That's why it's so exciting to be part of this process and so exciting to share it with more people, because something magical is happening. And if we keep our attention on the harmony instead of the disharmony, miracles are happening. And the numbers are a confirmation of those miracles that are in store for us.
Ashe, I love that. We can stick a pin in that right there. We might be done. But thank you so much, Brother Ruben, and for everybody who is tuning in with your hearts and your minds to the Galactic Spin podcast. Thank you for journeying together with us on this path over the next several weeks. This is our third episode. We have, 49 more to go? 7 times 7? We'll be getting there soon come. We'll be there before you know it, in fact, because we're all also, I'm sure, experiencing this acceleration that is happening, where the days just seem to be moving by more swiftly than before as we accelerate, each of us in our own way. And I'm excited also just to let you all know, in terms of what's next, I want to certainly bring to mind our calendar referendum initiative that we would love to invite you to support and sign. Thank you so much for signing our calendar referendum initiative petition that is live and online. We can get into conversations about the various platforms, even the ones we're using currently to communicate, such as Facebook and the big corps and all of that stuff. With and beyond that, we are eclipsing their stronghold. Mm-hmm. So I'm not too deterred when we use a platform like change.org to simply serve the purpose of actually rallying people to a higher awareness about time science and the benefit that that can have on their lives. And we're excited for our next episode because we will dive deeper on the subject of natural time itself. You hear us say the term natural time, but we want to get into a conversation about the benefits and applications of natural time and how you can use tools such as the 13-moon 28-day calendar to help facilitate a greater awareness of natural time in your life. We want to invite you to visit our website as well, theharmonicfactor.com, where you can download your own copy of the current year 13 Moon 28 Day Harmonic Synchronometer. This is a companion tool for this journey, for sure. And we will also soon be bringing to you this Time Ephemeris that's also a companion tool as we near the golden intersection of timelines. Thank you for your patience with us, because that is a pretty heavy lift in terms of the work, really, with Ruben and our support to get that done and get that out to you all. Again, as I said, this is new knowledge. These are new discoveries that are being made based on the method that we've taken of laying out these calendars side by side and watching the synchronization occur among them before our very eyes. It's really, really quite an incredible and beautiful thing. And in that, there's so much synchronicity and so many meaningful alignments popping out from that. And that is one of the benefits of using the lens of natural time or the 13 moon 28 day calendar in your life as a daily measure of synchronicity. And so we do invite you again to visit theharmonicfactor.com, where you can download the synchronometer right there and make a donation as well, because your support does help us continue to bring this information forward to the people and for the planet. All of this is effectively voluntary, and we honor the many timekeepers out here who do devote so much considerable time and effort and energy in keeping with natural time. We are all pioneers in that sense here at the, I would say, the threshold of a paradigm shift, an irreversible paradigm shift, fortunately. And so as we near this golden intersection, we look forward to meeting and convening with more of you in greater harmony and synchrony, because it is, you know, definitely the reality that many hands make light work. And so we're looking for those souls out there that do resonate with this and are willing to normalize the conversation and invite their friends, and even those who they may consider the opposite of their friends, into an awareness of this, because we're eclipsing division. We're stepping into greater harmony and unity with the cosmos and with one another. And I would love to ask Ruben if you have any closing comments, any commentary relative to Bacal and this noospheric shift, any reflections on that as we wrap this up.
Well, really, lots of gratitude for everyone who are tuning in and asking for feedback to make sure that everyone is getting the message. We would love to see your comments on the chat. And also, please follow us on social media. We have Facebook, Instagram, on YouTube, of course. We want to hear what you have to say, because the idea is that this is an open space. So if you have also guests or people you would like to see here having a conversation with us, and you have a connection, please let us know, because we really want to expand the conversation and have every week a new guest and really be able to share this wisdom and the wisdom that everyone has in store. Because everyone here on the planet Earth is on a mission, and a valuable mission, just a matter of discovering it. And thank you, brother, for all the effort. Thank you to Gisele and Ali also for their support. And see you in the next time.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, brother Ruben. And thank you as well to everybody out there tuning in. Thank you for being with us and for sharing information about the podcast with others. We plan to be here every 7 days, sometimes live, sometimes pre-recorded. But nevertheless, we always plan to put the pulse out there every 7 days between now and this golden intersection of timelines. So you can be sure of that. And we do. We love and appreciate you very, very much. Thank you for all you do. And thank you for showing up on the planet at this most auspicious time. What a wonderful time to be here, for sure. With that, our love and gratitude in Lakesh to you all. Okay, family? One love.
Tune in with the Galactic Spin Podcast and expand your view.